Welcome to the My Family Coach podcast. I'm Claire, and each week you'll find me interviewing a guest expert to find out more about the tricky world of child behaviour, all in handy 15-minute-ish bite-sized chunks. At the end of each episode, we'll send you away with three practical tips. It's perfect for parents, carers, and professionals working with children. And if this episode leaves you wanting more, you can watch, listen, and read our wide range of free resources on the My Family Coach website. I'm joined this week by Nina Jackson. Nina is an international education consultant specialising in the area of mental health and special educational needs. She's worked globally with thousands of educators, parents and communities of learning to support children and young people so that their diverse needs can be met. And this week, Nina and I are talking about how can music help my child? Enjoy the episode.
Hi, Nina. How are you?
I'm brilliant. Thank you, Claire. How are you? Good morning to you.
Good morning. I was saying to Nina off air that excitingly, we've got a new puppy, and I was very interested in the topic that we're talking about because instinctively I've played her classical music whilst I'm in the other room doing this recording, and it made me think of you, Nina, because I was like, oh, we're talking about music and behaviour today. So I instinctively, yeah, cracked on the classical music.
I do always get that connection with dogs, you know, Claire. But no, actually, it's interesting what you've just mentioned, because I think what we don't generally know as human beings is the way that musical frequencies help different sort of human beings and animals. And, you know, depending whether or not you've got a human being at home or different animals or things, depending what type of music that you choose to put on, everybody will actually respond very differently. A, depending on their hearing. B, most importantly, depending on their mood and the emotional sort of status of what they're actually at. Do you know what I mean? So, for example, this morning, I could maybe put on a really lively piece of music that's got lots and lots of lyrics, and suddenly it's going to energize me, you know, to feel quite fantastic, because it's the whole idea of working on sound waves make brain waves, and that you have connections with neurotransmitters in your brain. Now, if, for example, you yourself as a human being are feeling really overwhelmed and you're thinking, I've got all these jobs to do and I haven't had a good night's sleep, that piece of music might actually have a totally different effect on you. So when we are choosing the right music for the right reason at the right time for whoever it is. So, for example, your children and your young people in the home, if they've just come in from school and they're very stressed and they're overworked, you're not going to put on a little bit of Boom Shakala, are you? Because what maybe you're going to need to do is to really give them just a little bit of space. And tying in with that, because I'm brilliant at digressing, okay, I'm just thinking about where we're talking about music, the impact of music, the right choices for different experiences, changing the emotional makeup of the body, the neurological and cognitive side. I think what we have to be really careful of is this, is that we have to have conversations with people as well about, are there certain types of instruments or sounds or consonant or dissonant music? So consonant music is, if I sang Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to you, that would make total sense because it's a musical line and it's fine. But if I, for example, put on some random Steve Reich music or some possibly 21st century jazz music, that would sound as if it doesn't fit, if you know, musically, that might not actually work with you. So the science behind it is huge, obviously with the amount of research that I did, but also as well, we do still have to go with that gut feeling, that gut human feeling of what makes us feel good. So I'm going to ask you a question, Claire, if that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Right. Have you got two or three pieces of music that you just go to you know, and you can say, oh, I love that piece of music.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one I found actually on YouTube. I can't remember the artist, but it's three women singing a cappella, God is a Woman. And it's just, it's like I listen to it and it's emotional, but it's relaxing, it's mind blowing. So that's one that, yeah, really springs to mind. And I don't even know why and how that differs from other bits, but.
But you've just said it, because A, it's relaxing, it's emotional, and it will be to do with the sounds that the voices actually create. So you subconsciously are drawn to that piece of music, because what it's doing, it's feeding you with lots of well-being factors, not just in your brain, because you can't see what's happening in your brain, but you can feel what's happening in your body and in your head, the head and heart coming together.
That's amazing. And thinking about the book recommendation that we'll put at the bottom of this podcast, tell me a little bit more about Music in the Classroom. I know it's based on your studies that you did at university.
Yeah. So the reason it was called The Little Book of Music for the Classroom is that it predominantly started as not a mistake, but I was struggling when I was an NQT in my first year of teaching in a really big secondary school in Hampshire. And there was a documentary made on the school called Kids Behaving Badly. Okay. Yeah. So back in 1991, we had over 70% of our children and young people then, it was a secondary school, and then it would have been known as the EBD register. And they were on the EBD register. And I had this class, and I will call them magical individuals, okay? Yeah. But they were challenging. And I was in my first year. I couldn't control them. They were shouting, screaming, throwing desks and chairs across the classroom. Quite a few of them taking some substances that they really shouldn't have been taking. Mm. And I thought I was going to give up my job, because I just thought, I'm really useless. I can't manage these young people. And they were year nine. I mean, you know, the hormones kick in and things. But I just thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? This is just absolutely dreadful. And I had this little stage in my music classroom, because at that point, as an NQT, I went in as a head of department. I didn't even know how to write a scheme of work then. But my passion for music and making a difference was just part of me, basically. So I thought, right, I'm just going to have to put a piece of music on. I went over to my CD shelf, which, because it was CDs in there.
Back in the day.
Took the CD off the shelf thinking, please God, let it not be Mr. Blobby. Okay. And I just chose at random track number 4. I remember I didn't even look at the CD, and I stood on the stage, put my feet firmly on the ground, put my hands in the air, and I said to the class, right, put your heads on the desk, close your eyes, we're going on a journey. And I think they were so shocked with, like, what on earth is she doing? And I put this piece of music on, and it was Gabriel's Oboe from The Mission.
Mm.
And it was magical. It completely changed the emotional makeup, the behavior of every single young person in that classroom, and me too, because I was shaking. It lowered my heart rate. I closed my eyes as well, peeking as well, just to see where they were. And at the end of it, there was total silence in the classroom. And I said to them, right, open your eyes, lift your heads, pull your chairs together, we make a circle, and we'll have a discussion. And that was the day when I realised, even though, you know, music had been a part of my life, well, since I was very, very young, I had no idea then that this could literally transform behaviour, access to one's own emotions, and basically change everything in that classroom. But guess what happened? After that, when these young people started talking about how challenging their lives were, how calm they were after that music. That was the first day, and I remember it was in November, that was the first day that I realised the importance of relationships with young people. And to this day, from 1991, there are people, young people who are in that classroom who are still messaging me and still saying, I play Gabriel's oboe every single day. I use it with my own children. We use it in our family home. And when things are a bit fraught, it's my go-to piece. And then basically what happened was we discussed about why it was certain pieces of music would make them feel energized. And literally I went into doing a massive amount of research then in 1999 on the effects of different pieces of music, because it was the whole time where, oh, if you put Mozart on, it's going to make you smarter. So I was trying to almost sort of blow that myth out of the water, and it's true. So I got a tremendous amount of children and young people involved in a different school, and a tremendous amount of staff as well. And we looked at how music could raise standards of teaching and learning through the master's that I'd done, which was called Music and the Mind. And that's where basically the book, the little book of music for the classroom, but it's really the little book of music for the classroom, home, car, self, yes, everybody. But we had to put an appropriate title on it because that's where the research had come from, which was in the classroom. So that's a bit of a synopsis. And as you can tell, I do like to talk, so you can okay to butt in at any point.
No, I could listen to you all day, Nina. I suppose we're talking about music being soothing. I'm finding your lovely Welsh tones very soothing, and you're so passionate about the topic as well, which is amazing. And I said off air, it's actually genuinely not something that I know a huge amount about. So I'm literally like a sponge, you know, taking it all in. I am thinking a bit about the home and parents' carers listening. And I'm wondering, with that, you know, bulk of research that you've done, tell us a little bit more about the impact of some pieces of music on behaviour at home, maybe.
Okay. So first of all, let's imagine that we're talking about the everyday chaotic household in the morning. If you are trying to get your children ready and yourself, manage everything and to get out of the door. Okay, everybody's shouting, everybody's running, not shouting at each other, but you know, there's a little bit of chaos going on, probably positive chaos. But what we do know is that during that chaotic time, so if one of the children is still in bed and you as a parent are shouting at that child and say, I don't know how many times I've told you, you need to get out of that bed now, otherwise you're going to hold me up, we're not going to get to school, and there's going to be problems. So two things here. You could work with that child, young person, depending on the age, to create what we call a wake-up playlist, okay? Mm. So that can then, instead of an alarm, all right, you'd have a piece of music that would be between 80 and 100 beats per minute. Because if we think of it, you know, 60 to sort of 90 is a sort of a regular heartbeat, and that would sort of keep you quite calm. You could, for example, have no lyrics in it as a wake-up piece of music to start off with. And what that will do is those sound waves in the air will slowly but surely penetrate the child's neurological and cognitive system to really help them to connect the neurons, okay? So imagine neurons as lots and lots of motorways all sort of like diverging together. And when you connect the neurons, they're the cars that actually move, okay? So when we play music, what happens is that neurons connect. So think of a traffic jam. So you've got lots of cars, one after another, but they're connecting to actually make a line. We don't make lines. We make connections in our brain. So what will happen is that piece of music subconsciously will allow that child to feel a bit more energized and think, right, okay, I need to get up now. Downstairs then, maybe in the family home, you could create a list where you could create a variety of playlists. But let's just say you wanted the environment, the behavior in the home at this first point in the morning to be quite calming, then I would suggest from the list that's in the book to go with instrumental pieces that are between 60 to 100 beats per minute. Now, if you've got some really lethargic children who are telling you to do one because they still need to sleep and you're feeling very, very stressed, you might also want to have, let's call it a wake-up playlist, okay? You might want to have a really energizing piece of music, okay? So if we talk about energizing pieces of music, there's a chapter, chapter three is music to motivate, stimulate, and to energize.
Oh, amazing. Okay?
And there then, it's got some suggestions for you of what you could actually use, okay? So, for example, you might want to have the three dog called Celebrate, or you might want to have a bit of Wham, Wake Me Up Now Before You Go-Go. Now, you might...
That's the one. That's the one for me.
Yeah. Oh, but Nina, that is also yesterday. Okay, it doesn't matter about the piece in the title. Think about what that actual piece is doing. The beats per minute, the lyrics... And also as well, it's the frequencies. So if we want to regulate that type of behavior in the household, parents with children, children getting around, even parents getting a little bit worked up, create yourself a wake-up playlist. Now, what if we've then got this disgruntled individual who says, I'm not doing no revision, I've had a gutsful, and ends up having a real fight and a real problem with the parents because they've got an exam the following day. Mm. Well, actually, in the book specifically, it tells you about why certain pieces of music can prime the brain, okay? So you listen to a piece of music first, then you revise what needs to be remembered and revised. And then you play the piece of music and go over that revision at the same time. And there's a link then to what you've been revising and the piece of music. Now, the thing is, you're not going to have that piece of music with you in the test or in the exam, are you? But what the brain does, it remembers some of the musical patterns. So I'm not going to ask you to do it, Claire, right? But if you were to sing me something, sing or whistle or hum, okay, a tune or a piece of music that you're very, very familiar with, maybe even something that you remembered in school, okay? What it tells you is that the brain stores certain things once they're used more than three times, particularly the music or snippets of them. So it just makes that connection.
That's really interesting, that link to learning, but almost like a trigger or a cue point help remember what's going on. So that's definitely something parents, carers could use at home, like during, you know, homework time, revision. What about, I'm just thinking about, it's like some of the children, young people that I support, you know, with families might have, let's say, a meltdown, for want of a better phrase. We might call it lots of different things, but let's go with meltdown. Let's say that, you know, child's having a meltdown. How could music help in that kind of scenario, do you think?
Okay, so first of all, let's define whether or not we're talking about meltdown in relation to a child who's got I'm not going to use the word special educational needs, because for me and in my books, they're called learning and living differences. Okay. Whether we're talking specifically about meltdowns that are related to a learning and living difference. So, for example, if a child has got ASE, autistic spectrum condition, I've recently been diagnosed myself at the age of 56 and a half as being autistic. So I've been it all my life, but you know, then you get the label, and label are for tins and not for people. I need to let you know that.
So true.
But, you know, so for me, like the child, there are certain pieces of music that I know can put me and make me feel really calm and refocus. So words and lyrics, when a child is going, either going into or in a meltdown, is not a good idea. Okay, because what will happen is the child will have lots and lots of things going on in their brain. You know, there'll be words, imagine them sort of fantasy words flying around everywhere. Sometimes actually visually outside, they can see them, particularly if they're children with ADHD or ASE, and that can be really challenging. So no lyrics, okay? Mm-hmm. So then what we do is we the parents, will know that certain pieces of music, again, this will be between 50 beats and 85 beats per minute, because what you're trying to do is use the frequencies and the BPMs, the beats per minute, to lower the heart rate, lower the blood pressure, and to focus on the sounds. Now, what you would do is you wouldn't put the music on loud volume. You would slowly, as the parent, put that piece of music on, turn the volume up slowly, sit with the child and say, let's focus, let's focus, let's sit. Drop the voice down, almost to the point then where the voice becomes invisible and the music, because sound waves make brain waves, become the healer. Now, you could also, if you wanted to and the child was comfortable with this, is actually get them to use their personal headphones. Depends on the age, okay? Depends on the relationship that you have with the child. But I would say, if parents have no understanding of the science behind the music, ask yourself this: how and why do you know that certain pieces of music help you, help your child, or help the family? And start with that. If something makes you feel good, if something makes you feel calm, if something gives you a memory, okay, a magical memory, most people will say, oh yeah, I remember what piece of music had on my wedding day. I remember what piece of music was playing when I was giving birth, okay, because they use that now in birth rooms as well. Start with that. Then maybe if you want to know the more of the science behind it, you know, grab the £1.79 version Kindle of my book and just look at what it says in the chapters, and don't worry what it says about the classroom, okay? So if you want pieces of music to help with learning, studying, memory and focus, that's chapter one. Music for relaxation and calm in number two. Music to motivate, stimulate, energize, number three. Music with a purpose in number four. And then finally, having to think about, how can I put together my own playlists of the right music at the right time for the right reason? And there is scientific research behind everything that's in the book. And, you know, I had had a big grant as well from the General Teaching Council for Wales, which was at the time. And I'm so thrilled to say that I got my master's from it. So we know that music can change the emotional makeup, behavior, connection, relationships. You can go from zero to hero. You can go from crawling on the walls to feeling very calm and focused by choosing the right piece of music.
It's so amazing. And I think loads of the things that you said there really resonated. That idea that we think about pieces of music that have impacted us, and we encourage children, you know, young people to do the same in our homes. And really it is, yeah, outlining the power of music with loads of science. I think it would be really good just to summarize some of the bits that we've talked about with your three top tips, Nina.
Okay. So, hey there, parents. Hey there, humans. Hey there, everybody else. First of all, think about, start with the music that you know and love that can help you or help your children to calm and to focus. And if you need more help, you get in touch, okay? Then think about the pieces of music, for example, that you would want to energize them. And that could be for that morning system that we spoke about earlier on, or to energize them for what we call small bits of revision. But then really thinking about creating appropriate playlists for the home, so for you as a family, for the individual child or young person, depending what their specific needs are, but really making sure that you know the difference between using just instrumental pieces and when it's appropriate to bring lyrics in. And I'm just going to mention this. I know that the takeaway things, but you know, sometimes when you're thinking thoughts, if you put a piece of music on that has lyrics, the lyrics and your thinking thought words end up having sort of a bit of a party, right? What happens in the brain, it's called a dual task paradigm, and it just messes with your head. But then there are other times when certain pieces of music with lyrics end up sticking, and you go, do you know what? Why have I just written down some of those words? Or why is it that I know all of the lyrics of those songs and I haven't really purposely studied it? Because we've been playing it more than three times. So start working on your playlist. Look at the difference in emotions. Calm, focused, energized. And then with regards to behavior, you create a playlist, but also let your child and young person guide you as to the different types of pieces of music that also make them feel calm, energized, and focused. Sorry, I meant to keep that really succinct, but I went off.
You did, no, because it's really what's come out, and it's a theme that comes up on the podcast, is doing things with our children. So all the science is there, but actually it's collaborative where we can. Oh, Nina, that was absolutely fantastic. It's given me loads of food for thought on this topic. As I said, we'll put links to the book that you've mentioned, or your book, at the bottom of the episode. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy your music. And if you need to get in touch, please do so via Claire. I'll be happy to help you.
You've been listening to the My Family Coach podcast. Thank you for joining us as we lift the lid on the challenging world of child behaviour. Remember to subscribe to listen to all our episodes, and there's heaps more helpful support for all your parenting needs on the My Family Coach website. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.